This episode is brought to you by The Loan Store. The Loan Store provides a full spectrum of options, including agency financing, non-QM, jumbo, and hard money for investors. Benefit from unparalleled service with their seasoned account executives and operations staff, ready to expertly manage your loan needs. Competitive pricing ensures the best deals for your borrowers. Choose a Loan Store for complete solutions and expertise that delivers tangible results. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Broker to Broker podcast. My name is Mark Summers. I'm the president of AIM, and today's episode is brought to you by The Loan Store. Today's guest, which I am extremely excited about, and I was just talking to our producer in the back end, Kurt, is I don't think we planned this out too well, even though it is going to be processing week, but we asked a processor and to come on at the end of the month. So I totally forgot it was the end of the month, but it is what it is. Cheryl always makes time for AIM, and we appreciate that. But today, let me introduce you. I'm going to welcome the CEO of Coastal Breeze Processing, Cheryl Dempsey. Cheryl, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Yes, we always make time for you, and then we just work late. It's okay. That's what we do. That's the business, right?
Yeah. Hey, this is what we do, right? It doesn't matter if it's a Friday, end of the month. We're always working here. But exactly. Cheryl, thank you for joining us today. Just so everyone knows, I'm giving Cheryl a big shout out because she has been just absolutely so flexible, as most processors are. So thank you. You know, we've had some audio technical difficulties. She changed her schedule around. So I just want to say thank you. But now it's on to you, Cheryl. Now we're going to talk about you here. I love hearing in this crazy business how we kind of get to where we are. You know what I mean? Sure. And from my standpoint, I feel within reason, I pretty much have done everything within this industry, from processing, closing, front desk, broker owner. Obviously, you're a phenomenal processor. So tell us how you got into that role. What was the steps that got you here?
My husband made me.
Okay, that's simple enough. Simple enough.
No, you know, I think you kind of, when you are passionate about something that's so rewarding and you get the opportunity to be in this business. And I mean, yes, it's stressful and it's hard. And sometimes right now we think, you know, rates are crazy and we can't control those things. But it's such a rewarding business that I really just couldn't stay away. I tried. My background is in government finance and in accounting. So I did that for years. And then as my husband's business started to grow as an LO, he needed support and I was there. And we had young kids. And so it worked out that I was able to be home with the kids, support his business, and help him start to grow. And that was really the basis of starting Coastal Breeze Processing. He had moved to the broker owner. He left retail and became a broker owner. And then I opened up Coastal Breeze Processing to continue working with him. Then I really fell in love with it and realized that I can do this on a larger scale and have a greater impact and then have the ability to provide work for processors that were, you know, losing jobs in operations staff, you know, in 2022 and 2023 that, you know, everybody was looking for work. It was a great opportunity.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, when it comes down to it as well, you know, there's this big, I don't want to call it a disconnect, but there's not a line in the sand or like this crystal clear path that we look at when we start talking about processors and loan originators. I know I always just tell everyone, listen, at the end of the day, as long as you have a good relationship with your processor and your processor has a good relationship with you and you guys are on the same page, it usually works out. But from your standpoint, and we'll talk about Coastal Breeze Processing right here, what are some of your initiatives right now? Like what's your business look like?
So growth. I mean, that's the biggest initiative right now. We are, we're licensed in 14 states currently. And then we have 3 full-time staff members. I have 2 more onboarding next month. There's business out there. People are doing loans. I'm seeing refinances. We're seeing purchases. People are still buying. I know that it sounds like the sky is falling, but we're in a growth mode and we're going to support brokers as long as we can, the best that we can, collaborating. What I love about working with multiple brokers is that collaboration and knowledge of different lenders and different products, because as processors, we're working with probably more lenders than each individual broker is, right? You probably have, your 4 or 5 that you use because it's hard to learn every product and every lender and every system and all of the things. But we do. We learn every product in every lender system and every portal. And so, being able to tap into that resources has been really fun at working with brokers, because sometimes you don't know where to send a loan. Like we're just recently, I had an LO that needed a condotel. And so, you know, maybe that was his first condotel, but it wasn't our first condotel. And so, right. You know, we can share that insight of, hey, you know, here are these lenders that are doing these products.
That's awesome. And you know, and the thing about it is I've had different processors. I absolutely love my processor right now. But the one processor I didn't have a good relationship with was because she tried telling me how to do everything. Which is fine. I mean, my wife tells me what to do all the time, which is absolutely fine. But at the same time, like this processor wasn't willing to learn with me. You know what I mean? I would say certain things, and that's what processors and originators have to understand, is not one's not better than the other, and you can really learn from each other.
Right. And lean into each other, because we're all on the same team. You know, my staff, one is a former underwriter, one is a former LOA. You know, they've been licensed LOs at points, you know, at some points in their careers. So, I mean, we've got a broad depth of experience on our team, and we want you to succeed too, really. I mean, let us process so you can go and get more loans and do that part of your business. Cause I don't want to go get loans. I don't want to originate. I know it's hard. I watch people do it. I see files come in after 2 years of working with a client, you know, trying to get them qualified and, you know, and find the right home. And that's a long process. That's a long return. I do not envy loan originators at all.
and I'm willing to bet originators say they don't envy processors at all.
Right. Which is why I'm a processor and they're LOs. It works out
exactly.
Well.
Exactly. Well, so when you started this company, this processing company, what was the process like? Like, was it easier than you thought? Was it, wow, there's so much potential here? Or did you really have to dig in for a bit, get your bearings and go, okay, I can do this?
So it started out easy because it was just one state, right? And it was just one company. And honestly, and AIM has such a great community, truly, I don't know that I would have been able to navigate a lot of it without, you know, that broker community of just, hey, who are you using for compliance? How are you, you know, how are you filing call reports, things like that? So it was easy in the beginning. The expansion has been difficult because now we're talking surety bonds. Because I don't know that folks understand this, but as the processing company, you know, I'm essentially a broker owner as well and have to hold those same licensing at the company level and the MLO level. And it's a lot to get all of, you know, the compliance pieces together, the surety bonds, the applications, continuing education. I never thought that I'd be, you know, 15 states an hour each of continuing education each year. You know, I start early for that. So it's expanded. And then just with the business growing as well, you know, starting out as just a single owner and working with one broker to working with multiple brokers in multiple states and taking on different roles, I'm having to learn now to step back from processing and allow my staff to really shine so that I can keep managing the business.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's tough. I mean, and a lot of people don't understand that. I'm glad you brought that up, that you actually have to have the same licensing. You know what I mean? It's not just for lack of a better word, but it's not just dumbed down licensing. I mean, it's full blown exactly what we do, you know, what we all do. So that's why I always say we're all on the same page. We should lean into each other. We need to rely on each other. So as you've gone along with this, and you're in this leadership role, what's like the one thing that you've learned or that was like an aha moment for you?
So I have two answers for that. One thing that I've learned is that I have to absolutely let go. I cannot do everything. My personality is I'm going to take it, I'm going to own it, I'm going to get it to the finish line. And it's not feasible when you're expanding. It's not sustainable. So leaning into the people that are in place. I've hired a great team. I have great support. They know what they're doing. Letting them do that has been a big piece. The other thing that I've learned is that there are some projects that are just going to be no, and no is an okay response to. I want to do everything. I want to support everybody. I want to take on every initiative that I can, but time is our most valuable resource. And so sometimes the answer is no. And having the knowledge or wisdom or kind of insight to say, you know what, no, or not now, or not at this point, maybe we can get there, has been huge too, because otherwise I would just be overwhelmed and exhausted.
as you probably already are.
At the end of the month, meeting with you.
Yes, and at the end of the month, as we're doing this. So last thing about your company here is, anything exciting coming up that we should be looking out for?
More states, add more states, and really trying to advocate for brokers. One of my passions is just the broker community. So working with, it's been exciting at the state level, seeing some things come through, working at the federal level, trying to support brokers. We're all on the same team. So that's probably our biggest initiative is continuing to support the channel and give as much back as we can to the community, because it has helped my business tremendously. And I want to do the same for others.
The selfless attitude, it always seems to work out for people that way. You know what I mean? When you have that selfless attitude like you have, you become successful. It's a fact. You know what I mean? And I've fought with people about this for a while, and they're like, no, you got to go take your business. But it's a selfless attitude that I really think expands everyone. Okay, so we've talked about your processing company. Now I want to talk about the originator and processor dynamics, okay? Because I love hearing this, because it's also based off of where you are, in my opinion. You know, certain states I see, you know, originators want to take on, you know, maybe more than other originators in different states don't want to take on as much. So in your eyes, from a originator processor standpoint, what should a loan officer do and responsible for, and what should the processor be responsible for?
So the loan officer is going to be that forward facing person that's going to structure that loan and file, right? You know your clients, you know their pain points, you know their goals. Is it payment? Is it interest rate? Is it purchase price? Is it, you know, the size of the home or location? You know all of those details. So the loan officer is going to get that loan structured, wrapped up in a bow, ready to go. Once that loan is a sellable loan, that's when the processor is going to come in. So then you've sold that to the client, everybody's happy, everybody's on board. Processing then is going to come in and pick it up and take it all the way from that intent to proceed and closing.
Okay. Now, when it comes to, all right, we need something from the borrower. Are you contacting the borrower, or is the originator contacting the borrower, or is it you see both?
So we see both, and everybody has a preference. And so that's a learning curve too. And part of our intake process when we meet with new brokers is, what level of interaction do you want? How much do you want us copying you on emails? How much do you want us reaching out to your realtors? Do you want to keep that connection with your realtors? Do you want us reaching out to clients? And even going as far as saying, what's the client's best or preferred method of communication? Are they texters? Are they emailers? Are they, you know, does Susie need a phone call and Tom needs to, you know, a text message? John works nights, so please don't call him at 8 a.m. All of those things are important in the process. So we absolutely will go and get the conditions from clients, unless for some reason there's a reason that the LO wants to do that themselves. Sometimes we work with language barriers too. So a lot of times we're working with the LOs a lot to help just with communication. So it just depends on the individual LO and what their needs are.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And then, okay, so you close the loan. What does your back end process look like? Because I know you just don't close the loan and you're done. I mean, you know, not only for yourself, because you have to be in compliance, but you probably also have to get your broker in compliance a little bit. But what does that process look like on the back end, and how much time does that take?
It's lengthy, and it is, and we're still fine tuning it, right? Because my compliance requirements are different than your broker owner requirements. Like, sure, I file call reports, but I don't originate. So it's a zero all the time. You know, I mean, yeah. You know, my MCR, they're different than yours. And so now we've created a checklist, you know, post-closing, this is what's required. These are the docs that are needed. And then now even fine tuning it at the state level, because we've had brokers go through audits and, you know, there are specific state documents that need to be in the file. And so it probably, we try to keep up with that throughout the loan, obviously, you know, as changes come through. But at the end of the day, at least a good hour at the end of each loan, making sure that all the docs are uploaded, all the dates are correct, all your compliance dates are in there, and every document is there so that you have the full file, because we've seen it happen, right? The lender goes out of business and your docs are gone if you don't have them. And at the end of the day, sure, it's on you. It's the regulators don't care that the lender went out and the docs are gone. Don't care. At the end of the day, it's on you. So we take that seriously too, and we understand the importance of those pieces.
It's funny you say that, because many, many years ago, my old business partner, who is still a dear friend of mine, he was like, no, Mark, it's in the lender's stuff. Don't worry. And this is Calyx time too, by the way. I was like, why don't we just put it in Calyx? You know what I mean? Just throw it up there. And he's like, no, it's fine. As long as he's like, I've already checked with people. Well, we get audited, and those auditors were not happy about that. They had to delay our audit, and so we could get everything uploaded into Calyx. You know what I mean? So it was a pain, and I can't even believe I'm using the word Calyx, but yes, I did use it. I think everyone did. It was forced on us.
I know a few people still using it, but I won't call them out by names here on this podcast.
I have a feeling it might be your husband, but no, I'm just kidding. No.
Never. No, he's always trying all the new things. I'm like, please.
Okay, so we touched base on it earlier, and I don't know if you want to elaborate on it anymore, but it was like how processors and brokers can work together, you know what I mean, and lean on each other. What's one piece of advice, like if you're a newer broker right now, or newer originator listening, what advice would you give them on, you know, the relationship between the processor and loan officer?
Everybody's first instinct is to go and look at Optimal Blue and check rates, right? And I'm going to go and I'm going to pick the lowest rate at this lender, because that's kind of what we're trained to do. And it's what consumers are focused on, especially in this environment. I would say work with your processor, talk to your processor, walk through that loan, tell us the avatar of that client. Let us know what the pain points are. Is it self-employment? You know, do we need gift funds? Is it a DPA? And let us help you find a good home for that, because it's not always about the rate. It's about that client experience. And so getting them, you know, an eighth less and then a miserable process through the loan isn't serving clients well, in my opinion. So let us work with you and help guide, you know, where that possibly can go for newer ones. Once you're in there and you know who you want to work with, you know whose systems you like, you know all of the things, great. We're here to help and we'll support on the back end. But I think for newer ones, I would say really lean into that advice from processors, because we've worked in all of those systems. We've seen it all. We've banged our heads on the walls with underwriting. We know who's going to take what and how to help make that the best experience for your client.
Yeah, absolutely. That's perfect. That's nail on the head, because you're right. We do have, I mean, everyone loves hiding behind fiduciary responsibility, right? And you have to do it this way, which, trust me, we all want to give the best deal. Right. I mean, we do. If you can't get the deal done, or it's going to take 60, 90 days, or they have requirements that you know you can't hit, then what the hell are we talking about?
Exactly. Rate is only one piece of the puzzle. And so making sure that it's a good fit holistically is so important.
Yes, absolutely. So I've been attacking this from, you know, this interview from an originator standpoint, like what can originators do and all this stuff. But like, what advice do you have for the processors in our community? Like what's one piece of advice you would give them right now?
I would say get active in the community. There are a lot of processors, and I'm really excited, because I feel like, and maybe I'm making this up, but I feel that AIM is taking a concentrated effort of finding some sort of community for processors as well, and incorporating that a little bit more, because we're all in there. We're in the same groups and we're members and doing this, but obviously the majority are loan officers. But I would say for the processors in our community, get active, get involved, get in these threads, get in these chats, work with folks, because the more we can work together, the better we can serve all of our borrowers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yes, AIM is making a conscious effort towards it. Hell, we're having processing week. Along with that, Gina, we all know Gina, and I'm going to butcher her last name, Warby, whatever. She has been one of the biggest advocates for processors out there. And I know she's going to be listening to this, and just know, Gina, we're still working on a processing aspect of AIM because it is important. Like, and you know, and I go to Success Track at UWM, you know, pretty much at least once a week, right? And they allow me to talk to different classes. They're obviously to talk about AIM, of course. And but the one thing I always tell people when I go on the processing classes is processors are like the lifeblood of our community. They are. I mean, and the best thing about it, and there's a few guys in my office, and they'll laugh that they hear this, but if their processor goes down for the day, let's say a funeral, they're sick, they're checked out for the day too. They're done. They don't even know how to navigate. So processes are truly like the lifeblood. They keep this industry going for us, so we can go help more consumers. Yeah. So, all right, Cheryl, we have, if I can get a few more minutes of your time here, I want to talk with you about mindset. And one thing that I did, I think it was last week, might've been 2 weeks ago, time flies in this industry, you know, but we want to hear questions from the broker community, right? So I put a question out there on the Brokers Are Better Facebook page. Do we have any questions? And Tony, basically Tony Zerwas, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that name wrong, but Tony put a question in there and he says, you know, what does mindset mean to you and how important is mindset in our industry?
Mindset is everything in this industry, especially right now. It is hard. It's a hard industry anyway. It's a hard business. It's stressful. It's rewarding. It's challenging. Every day we have to make the decision to know people are still buying homes. People are still refinancing. There is business out there. And if you buy into this, oh, the market's terrible, interest rates are down, and everybody's slow, and it's hard. Yes, it's hard, and anything worth doing is hard. But making that decision every single day to just 5 minutes, get your mind right. There's work to do. We're going to be okay. We're all going to get through it. We can help each other get through it and keep moving forward. Don't get stuck in that pause of fear because the market has shifted.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. It's just a different way of doing business. Like you said, there's business out there to get. It's just, we were spoiled and we got into a mentality of, I mean, there was a time there I could just pick up my phone and get a deal. Right. You know, it wasn't that hard.
Or you could turn away deals. If you didn't want to. Sure, take that one. I'm so busy that I don't even need this deal.
Exactly. And we got stuck in those roots a little bit. That's why the mindset question is being brought up, is because this is what it's about. We're still damn good at what we do and we're going to continue to do it. We just got to do it a little bit differently. And what this shift in the market has done for me personally is it gave me a little bit of breathing, right? It allowed me to breathe a little bit, but it allowed me to get creative on some things. You know what I mean? So we do things a little differently because, you know, when it comes to realtors, I'm going to keep my mouth shut on realtors right now. You know what I mean? But like, I don't like the fact that realtors are the first line and everything. So I sat down with my guys and we did something completely different. I'm not going to get into it, but where we're jumping realtors now, and then we want to give referrals to realtors, right, which usually doesn't happen. So it's just a mindset change, and you're nailing the head there. Mindset is everything with what we do. If you have a good mindset going into it, your day will go by beautifully. If you go in going, crap, here we go again. Rates suck. Market sucks. Your job sucks. Sorry, it does. But it's still a damn good job.
And we're doing things that other people can't. We're doing things that retail can't. I cannot tell you the loans that are coming through that they've been denied in other places. And we can close things that other people can't. And then if we remember that and focus on the amazing opportunity to serve your community, to serve your borrowers in ways that other companies cannot. Brokers are better together. They really are. And watching folks get into homes when they've been turned down because you found a product for them that works, you were able to structure it because we have, you know, hundreds of lenders that you can go to. It's so rewarding. I always think that it'll get old, and it never gets old. every closing still matters. And that's really the exciting part too.
Yeah, no. And the funny thing about it, sometimes we just have to, once again, have a different mindset. I sat there and I had a meeting with my staff the other day, and the one of my guys was like, man, it just sucks out there right now. You know, and I'm like, well, imagine being retail. Like, let's shift your mindset there. Imagine being retail. Oh, wow. Okay. Then you take a step back. Or sometimes I don't think we realize how good of a job we do. I just had a file, you know, and I'm not writing a ton of business right now, really focus on AIM, and I give my deals to other people. But, you know, like I closed a deal and I was like, man, it went okay. I mean, I was in constant contact, but I'm like, I hope they appreciate what I did. I call them 2 days later just to follow up. They were the happiest people on the face of the earth. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, I didn't even think I did that great with it, you know, but hey, here we go.
Yeah, I've had borrowers send me gifts. Borrowers. I'm like, I did my job. Like, thank you. I appreciate that. But that's our job, and that's what we're here to do. So it does help, you know, to remind each other that we are good at what we do. It's why we're going to make it. It's why we're still in this business. And honestly, if you're serving your clients well and doing what's best for them, I don't think there's a way to fail. I just don't.
I agree. And as long as you're honest with them upfront, don't hold anything back within, like your clients appreciate that.
Eat the frog, right? Eat the frog first thing, right?
Eat the frog. My buddy JP Hussey taught me that one. We were on a podcast and he said, Mark, I got a new motto and it's eat the frog. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean? So then I had to go look at it. I'm like, oh, that's actually an old saying. I didn't even know that. But yeah, eat the frog. You got to. Just
get out in front of it. Get it done. Have those hard conversations when you have to. And they really will respect you a lot more because you're being honest and you're being real and they don't feel like they're being strung along.
Absolutely. Well, Cheryl, listen, once again, you're one of the most flexible people. I appreciate everything you and your husband do for the community. I'm going to side on your side, not his side right now, because you're here at the end of the month and you can let him know I said that. But no, we appreciate everything you've done for the community. I know you're very active. I know you're just a breath of fresh air every time, you know, like we talk, or I know people talk to you, and it's just great that you're able to do this for the community and also take time out of your day to be on this podcast. So I just want to thank you.
No, thank you. I really appreciate it. It really is an honor to be a part of this community. I'm thrilled that I get to do something that I love every day. Not a lot of people can say that. And so I just appreciate you having me. Anytime, first of the month, end of the month, whenever.
I'm going to be a little bit more conscious when we do this next time. But no, I appreciate it. That's what we do, right? We're adaptable. That's what we do. But really, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. So brokers, if you want to get caught up on all of our past podcast episodes, please head over to aimgroup.com/broker-to-broker. You can also listen to all the Broker to Broker podcast episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Google, anywhere else we can basically download a podcast. Do me a favor, rate it, subscribe to it, leave a review. It helps us get the podcast out there and spread the word that brokers are better. And Cheryl, you're obviously one of them. And thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.